It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, here we go. It's hour number two of the Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith back with you, sending things back to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Marcus Young standing by with today's top four at four. Marcus?
Thank you, Russell. At number one, your Tennessee Vols baseball team is playing today at 4:30 as they take on UNC Asheville on the SEC Network Plus.
Game started at 4:30?
4:30.
I think it was later for some reason. Okay, I expect a full and complete update 1 hour from now on the top five at five, Marcus.
Will do. Think it'll be a good tune-up game for LSU?
Yeah. I mean, you want to win for sure. I mean, a loss would be disheartening, but I'm assuming Seacrest gets the start, and I'll be interested to see what the lineup looks like. And, you know, again, if we're...
I thought they put that out already. Let me look real quick, fellas.
Yeah, I'm sure it's out there. Are we closer to nailing down starting outfield, or is that just something that's going to continue to fluctuate game to game for the foreseeable future, if not the entire season?
All right. It is Xander Seacrest, Russ. And in the outfield, we've got Inslee.
Inslee in left, Jared Dickey in center.
Dickey in center, and then Reese Chapman in right field.
Wow. Jake Kindrow gets the start at – no.
No, he's got Jared Dickey at catcher, man. Okay, Christian Scott's at center field, man.
Okay.
That was throwing me. I was like, why would we put our catcher out in center field?
Well, he has – Dickey started center the first couple of games?
Yeah, but after talking to oh, God. My brain's just blanking here. Who did we talk to yesterday?
Burke,
yeah. Damn, Chris Burke was talking about Christian Scott. All that.
He was talking about the started in lineups. Right on Sunday.
Yeah.
Inslee started in center. He's in left today. See, this is what I'm talking about. It's just, it's
he's
crazy.
Yeah, he's moving
Inslee's
pieces
hitting
around.
Second.
He's got Zane. Merritt
is the DH. Like, a huge opportunity for Reese Chapman today. And Jake Kindrow gets the start at second base. You got to think that we're just giving Simo a day off there. So, very interesting. We'll see how it goes.
At number two, Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay says that fully guaranteed player contracts would make the NFL worse. The owner of the Colts shared a stance many NFL owners hold with regards to the fully guaranteed contracts. Quote saying, I do not believe in fully guaranteed contracts. What I've seen in the NBA and Major League Baseball, I don't see it as a positive completely. I don't see it as a positive element at all. Along with that, we have Browns owner Jimmy Haslam, who has personally defended their own actions for giving Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed contract of $230 million, saying, we did what we thought was best interest of our team. We still feel that way, so we're excited to, if you will, have the stuff behind us.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL, more so than any other sport, you know, sports are different from, you know, every other walk of life where you have an employment contract where, you know, a fan run could sign me to a five-year deal, Bear, and be reasonably sure, I'm 42, reasonably sure that I'm going to be producing at the same rate, level, whatever, at 47 than I am at 42. In sports, you know, you don't know that basketball player is going to be as good at 32 as he is at 27. You don't even know if he's going to be healthy. He has a bad injury. His entire career could go up in smoke. And football is just that, like, you never know, man. I mean, you see guys just lose it all the time, unfortunately. And you can get yourself into a bad situation financially by promising the wrong amount of money to the wrong type of player. So usually not one to have a ton of sympathy for the Jimmy Haslams of the world, but I see his point.
Yeah, it definitely has changed the way the NFL looks. I will say that. At number three, as Bear mentioned earlier, the NFL owners have approved the proposal to allow players to wear the number zero. So
not that.
As of now, I believe I saw that Calvin Ridley will be wearing number zero. The Philadelphia Eagles were the team that proposed the change earlier this month to allow players to wear number zero. The move builds on the 2021 resolution allowing most non-linemen to wear numbers 1 through 49.
And these are the important stories we cover for you on The Drive. The number zero coming back to the National Football League.
And I'm hopefully we'll have an update in an hour from now giving some more of the rule changes, because there are a few others that they have been looking at and trying to approve. So I will hopefully update on that soon as well. At number four, sticking with the NFL, two groups have submitted $6 billion bids for the Washington Commanders. The Josh Harris Mitchell Rails group, which now includes Magic Johnson, officially submitted a fully financed bid for the Washington Commanders that meets Dan Snyder's $6 billion asking price.
Where would that put it on, like, franchises as far as list?
Well,
$6 billion, I don't know, man. I mean, I guess it'd be right up there with among the most valuable sports properties in the world.
The other bid comes from the Canadian billionaire that we've talked about before, Steve Apostolopoulos. Oh, boy, that was really that was worse than the last time I tried it. If either bid is accepted, the deal would actually break the previous record sale for a franchise set last August when a group led by the Walmart heir Rob Walton bought the Denver Broncos for $4.65
billion. I feel like Washington, and that's not surprising, it's worth more.
There you go.
How do you feel about maybe Magic Johnson owning part of an NFL team?
I wouldn't care. He's a mega rich dude. He can invest his money how he sees fit.
There have been a lot of NBA guys doing that kind of stuff. Like LeBron James owns a part of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Well, I think the more pertinent question is, how do we feel about these big private equity groups owning American sports franchises? We're seeing it a lot in big European soccer clubs. But, you know, back in my day, the sports, you know, the American professional sports team was owned by a guy.
Yeah, but that guy's kids are, as those guys are dying, their kids are selling them.
Yeah, well, they're selling them, and no, very few people, you know, maybe Jeffrey Bezos,
like Elon, maybe Bezos.
Very people have $6 billion.
Just liquid.
Yeah, I mean, I remember back in the day, and I sound like an old guy up on the porch here, but I feel like these teams used to sell for like $500 million, which is an unimaginable astronomical sum, and our jaws hit the floor. It's like, oh, my God, how did Daniel Snyder come up with that kind of money to buy the Commanders? And now, like, nobody has that kind of money. So you're seeing these groups buy these teams for billions and billions of dollars, and nobody's really sure who owns the team. It's weird.
They got a board. I mean, I guess Green Bay's essentially been like that forever. I mean, it's not a hedge fund or an investment group. It's whatever weird thing they do up there where it's publicly owned, correct?
Yeah, it's owned by the pretty much like the city kind of thing. Actually, I think technically if we wanted to, the Drive could probably purchase a portion of the
Packers. I mean, you can get like one stock certificate, but you can't. They've got
how would
set
you
up
feel
you...
about the Amy Adams Strunk selling the Titans to, say, a Saudi investment fund? It's basically controlled by the king of Saudi Arabia.
Would they help me get Lamar Jackson?
Well, I mean, you're still going to be subject to salary cap rules, but you could have the best stadium in the world.
I mean, it's not as – that's true. I mean, it's not as cool as – I mean, if there was no salary cap, that's a lot cooler situation when, like, some kind of Saudi member of the Saudi royal family buys your team, because then you know, like, look at Man City.
Yeah, but, what's cooler, the NFL where – you know, whatever, whoever the poorest owner in there has, you know, you got a chance to win, right?
Yeah, sort of.
Anybody can win a Super Bowl. Not, you cannot say that in the Premier League. Brentford's not going to win that thing. I know people say, oh, Leicester City won. That was an extreme outlier. You basically have a five or six teams, really two or three, that can win in a 20-team league. Is that cool? I think it's pretty cool.
I mean, it's basically you're describing college football.
Yeah, maybe.
And honestly, maybe. That's what you finally drew my interest with was that whole argument. I was like, you know what? Russ is right. It's a lot like college football, and especially the SEC. Everybody's cheating rampantly.
Yeah, I was going for more of the cutthroat nature of fan support and things like that. But anyway, thank you, Marcus. Was that four?
Yeah, that was four.
I feel like we really hijacked your segment there. Is that okay?
That's okay. What I do is I wait for the moments where I can hop in, and I'm happy with that.
You could be a little more forceful. You could say, hey, guys, shut up.
You bring us the news. He gets on to you when you editorialize. So you bring us – I thought that's what the deal was.
Yeah, he does get on to me when I editorialize, and then you guys editorialize into a totally different topic sometimes.
Are you calling us hypocrites?
Have you been paying attention?
I mean, I have. For the last year, I've been paying attention.
Easy.
Been paying attention? You've been paying attention?
I've been paying attention.
Hey, Russell, I was going to tell you... didn't want to put this in the top four, but we have a Vol that recently got into a mock draft into the top five.
Stealing one of my little nuggets. One of my little nuggets.
What are you doing?
Is there a good chance that I was going to forget to bring that nugget up at all today on the show? Yeah.
No.
100%.
But why are you stealing one of my nuggets, Marcus Young?
For two reasons. One, I just want to point out, Baird literally just said you should have put that in your top four, so that would have made you more angry if it was in my top four.
Well, no, I mean, that was worthy of a top four mention, I feel like. Kind of falling.
Well, I don't know. It's not a news story. I think that's just something that hopefully we bring up during the course of the show. We will bring up during the course of the show this afternoon. I remind you, the top four is brought to you by National Law Rex. Final week of March CBD Madness going on. You're running out of time. The Ananda Professional Products, you know, we talk a lot about the, you know, what you get at the gas station CBD wise and how it sucks. It's not good stuff, man. Don't put that in your body, folks.
It can also lead to
Ananda Professional stuff. It's a little bit more expensive. Yeah, it's cheaper, the stuff at the gas station, but it's snake oil. If you want the true and full impact and effect of CBD, crazy thought here, you're going to want to buy it from a lab that's where it's actually run and created by, you know, doctors, people who know what they're doing. And we've got that for you at National Law Rex, East Tennessee's locally owned and operated, veteran owned and operated pharmacy. Through the end of the month, which whatever that is, three more days. Last day is Friday, I guess. Last day of March, the 31st. March CBD Madness. Get 25% off all Ananda Professional CBD products at National Law Rex. You don't even have to be here in town for our out-of-area listeners. You can support Fan Run Radio and Fan Run sponsors by going on to nationallawrex.com, finding the phone number, and giving them a call. Say, hey, I heard Russell talking about this, the CBD 25% off deal. I'd like to take part in that. Can you ship it to me? And they will say, yes, we can ship it to you. And they'll get your address and ship it to you. The number is 865-392-1770. Again, the website's nationallawrex.com. If you're in town, swing by their shop, 11134 Kingston Pike. Make a point to do that this week and get yourself some of the sleep-enhanced CBD product or something else over there, some of the chews, the gummies. They've got that for you as well out at National RX.
You know, Russ, this it blows my mind. This has really sent me down a rabbit hole. about why anybody, like, I didn't realize that people would actually go to a gas station to buy something like that.
If it's on sale at a gas station, that, I mean, somebody's buying it.
I mean, who would you rather take advice from? Clyde at the gas station, who may or may not have gotten his GED, or people at, like our buddies at National RX, who went to school for like 10 years studying pharmacology and medicine. And I know where I'd go. So,
yeah, no doubt. Coming up, as Marcus alluded to, which Vol will be a top five pick in this year's NFL draft? One ESPN mock might shock you. Stay tuned. We'll let you know who that is. And also Thursday, shaping up to be an epic sports day locally. We got a lot to get to. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. The Doctor, brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro Attorneys. Washington Wizards guard Bradley Beal is under police investigation after a post-game incident with a fan in Orlando who claimed to have lost a bet, according to police documents obtained by ESPN. After a 122-112 road loss to the Magic last Tuesday at Amway Center, Beal and the Wizards were exiting the court and in the visitors' tunnel headed to the locker room when, according to the police report, an unidentified man remarked to Beal, quote, "You made me lose $1,300, you F-word." Beal, according to the report, turned around and walked toward a friend of the man who made the comment and swatted his right hand toward him, knocking the man's hat off and contacting the left side of his head. I don't know if I'm crazy here, Bear, but we call that hitting somebody where I'm from.
Yeah. And I mean, what they're going to call it, I mean, where are you reading that from? I would have figured it would have, I mean, in this situation, the law would call it assault.
Potato, potato. Police reviewed video footage of the altercation and heard Beal say that it is his job and he takes it seriously. And the man is heard apologizing, implying he did not intend to offend him.
Everybody's lying now.
So sorry, buddy. Oh, sorry. The complaint states that probable cause exists to charge Beal with simple battery and that charges will be filed with the state attorney's office. No charges have been filed as of earlier this morning. NBA spokesman Mike Bass said in a statement they're aware of the report and in the process of gathering more information.
Take the gator out of Florida, Russ, but you can't take the gator out of the player.
Plenty of blame to go around in that one, I say.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, what do you expect?
Leap around and find out. You know, you say the wrong thing to the wrong dude. Bradley Beal shouldn't have done that, but.
What the hell? I mean, it's your
you
bet.
You placed the bet. Yeah, you paid. You bought the ticket. You take the ride, buddy.
Yeah, that's insane. I'd forgotten all about him, that he was from Florida.
Yeah, one and done it with the Gators back in the day.
Out of Chaminade.
Meanwhile, a 26-year-old woman yesterday filed a federal defamation suit against Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, a longtime Arkansas friend and a Cowboys spokesman, alleging the three men, quote, initiated a deliberate plan to portray the billionaire's own daughter as a, quote, extortionist and a shakedown artist whose motivation was money and greed. Alexander Davis, we talked a lot about this last year, didn't we?
Yeah, because it's such a – he's not contesting that that's his daughter. Wasn't that the deal? And she was basically – from the beginning, I felt like he provided her with money. It wasn't a money thing from her.
I don't remember all the
she wanted him to acknowledge her.
Well, he had paid for, and there was like an NDA or there was something. There was a disclosure thing there. This is all very sordid business here. The young lady's name is Alexander Davis. She's a congressional aide. She sought recognition as Jones's daughter in a lawsuit filed last year that indicated Jones paid her $375,000 and set up two trusts to conceal that he was Davis's biological father. The new lawsuit states that in the weeks after Davis's March 2022 filing, Jones and his representatives waged a public campaign attacking her character quote, based knowingly on false statements and accusations. Davis's latest lawsuit, filed in Texarkana, Texas, federal court, names three defendants: Jones, his longtime Arkansas lawyer and friend Donald T. Jack Jr., and Jones's outside communications consultant Jim Wilkinson. Davis is seeking an unspecified amount in actual and punitive damages. I feel like that's going to be a hard case to win.
Probably, but I think, I don't know. And this is, to me, this is a really sad story for the young lady. So, I really do. It's, I've never gotten the, you know, she's suing him, but I understand all that, but it's just sad to me. It's the only way she can have a relationship with her father, is by suing him.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be taking her for ice cream anytime soon.
No.
That is The Docket, brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the car wreck pro attorneys, online at foxandfarmer.com. Call today to set up a free, no obligation consultation to discuss your case with the car wreck pro attorneys at Fox and Farmer. Their number is 865-531-9400. Tell them Fan Run Radio sent you. 531-9400, online at foxandfarmer.com. So it occurs to me, we led the show off talking about our Rick Barnes approval rating, which finished up around 86-87%. Still collecting some votes from the greater Von Ohr region this afternoon. I saw the Elon tweet yesterday, Bear. The blue checks, the verified, the real verified ones are going away. Everybody can have a blue check now. And to have to vote in a poll, you have to have a blue check. Am I getting this right?
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring this to the table today.
It really impacts what we do here.
Well, yeah, because quite frankly, you've been in a better mood since you processed the.
Oh, it's fine. I'm not gonna. I mean, I haven't been making any money off the Twitter polls. It's a fun thing, but we won't be able to do it. And here's the thing, man, is like, I feel like that is going to make the polls worse.
Well, yeah,
100%.
Not just ours, but like any Twitter poll is fun. And I get that maybe bots are voting and throwing things off. I feel like that probably not happening. I don't feel like Russian bots are targeting a Tennessee sports radio show's polls about whether or not we like the basketball coach. I feel like that's probably far down the list of their priorities. I don't know. Maybe they feel like the communists feel like this has a destabilizing effect on our democracy, and it's a worthwhile use of their time and resources. I could be wrong, but I'm going to go ahead and assume that our polls are pretty legit.
I don't feel like there's somewhere in Siberia some Russian bot farm that's tampering with our polls. There were some accusations during last year's King of the Collars contest.
Remember? Like I said, it's not 100% scientific, but I don't know, man. That is disappointing. It is disappointing that that they've made a mess of it from that standpoint. These Twitter people just can't get it right, can we?
No, huh? No.
Twitter, I can't quit you.
Stuff keeps the Twitter stuff's kind of crazy. You never know what you're going to get. See, like they a bunch of people that they fired and gave all that trouble to about their severance, they never collected their work laptops. So stuff's starting to leak out, like top secret stuff that's kind of eye-raising.
Oh, yeah, the CIA Twitter files thing. Taibbi and all those. Have you been reading that?
I haven't been reading that part of it. I do know that, like, so Elon had said that the verifications, like, for polls and everything is, quote, this is the only realistic way to address advanced AI bots swarming or swarms taking over.
AI thing is happening quickly, isn't it, man?
Like, yeah, it's scary.
You talk about destabilizing. Like, it's,
you're not going to be able to believe your eyes anymore, period.
You really think that the AI is going to
fake news would be the least of our problems? Like, you're going to have actual fake news, not just biased stuff that you don't agree with.
Right.
Did you see the pictures last week of Trump getting arrested?
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Had a kind of a David Lee Roth.
I don't think it would go down. Like he wouldn't run. Like if the cops actually showed up on his door at like Mar-a-Lago, he wouldn't run.
He's under Secret Service protection for the rest of his life. There will be lawyers involved in conversations. He's totally different than
there's only a handful of those guys. Even if there weren't, even if like he answers his own door and there's a bunch of cops there, I feel like he would give himself up peacefully. He's an old man. What's he going to do? Run away from a bunch of armed law enforcement officials?
Probably not. He wouldn't go quiet though. That dude wouldn't.
No.
He must watch television. So he's got a, you know, like what I like to call President Trump. He's got a high motor, Russ.
Goes hard in the paint.
Yeah, he does.
So, Tennessee, hoping for some good news on the NFL draft that's coming up. I lost my story here. You stole my story. You ever seen Secret Window Bear?
Was that based on a Stephen King?
Yeah. John Turturro.
Yeah, I mean I read the story a long time ago.
I found my story. Former NFL general manager turned ESPN NFL draft analyst Mike Tannenbaum.
Oh, Tannenbaum.
No relation to Richie. Is high on Tennessee quarterback Hendon Hooker's draft stock. In his latest mock draft published this morning, Tannenbaum has Hendo Sanko going number 5 overall to the Seattle Seahawks.
I told you I felt like that. I didn't think they would draft him that high, but or if they would, but I've thought all along Seattle might be one of the best places for him to go.
This one might raise some eyebrows, Tannenbaum wrote, but hear me out. I think Hooker is really underscouted right now, largely because he's coming off the torn ACL in his left knee, but I believe his strong arm and 6'3" frame. Before the injury, Hooker looked great for the Vols. He led the nation in yards per attempt at 9.5, threw 2 interceptions over 11 starts, and was a top 10 passer in terms of completion percentage at 69.6%. I see a potential franchise quarterback and someone who can lead an offense. Go watch his performance against Alabama if you disagree.
I mean, you could say we're looking through orange colored glasses, but I mean, we all know your eyes don't lie to you. He made NFL throws last season.
Yeah.
I mean, just on the money, the LSU, the 50 yard.
Well, and I was talking about him yesterday with a friend, and that Alabama game. That's the reason when people talk about Joe Milton and, you know, what's his ceiling here? Can he be as good as Hendon was last year? And there's no doubt he's got a stronger arm than Hendon Hooker. But the reason Hendon Hooker is a legend at Tennessee is because of that Alabama game. And how many times have we seen Tennessee in that position through the years, Bear, where – They're in a big game against an elite opponent like that, and you know it's whether it was whether it was Ainge or Crompton or Worley or Dobbs or Bray or Garantano, whoever, they'd always get up to that penultimate moment.
Then they'd blink.
They would blink.
Yeah,
and like we were all waiting for Tennessee to blink that game, and Hendon Hooker never blinked. We were from behind. He had to come from behind to win that game, and he just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming and wouldn't take no for an answer. And we're getting off the draft topic here, but we haven't had a guy like that in a long, long time.
A winner.
And that's what changed, hopefully, the fortunes of Tennessee football for the foreseeable future was that game. And can Joe Milton do that? I don't know. We'll see. He might have the opportunity this year, but it's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, and just to tie it back into the draft, I mean, we've talked about it on the show time after time after time. I mean, the NFL is incredibly risk-averse business. I mean, you're talking about taking a risk and, you know, guaranteeing somebody you can get him all this money. And he just the off the field, like the intangible stuff.
Yeah.
The way he carries himself. Hendon Hooker's not getting arrested at 3 a.m. on the side of an interstate for doing 140 with a gun, a pound of weed, and, you know, in his Ferrari. Well,
not only that, Bear, I mean, that's obviously the extreme end of it, but here's something that here's the more the important part. You're not going to have the conversation we had last year about Kyler Murray and having to write a stipulation into his contract that he actually studies film. Like, you don't have to worry about that with Hendon.
No.
Like, he's going to do his job.
Yeah, he's coming in. He's wanting to do everything he can to be the starter. He's that guy. Not all those guys. You don't have to have that to play quarterback, but to play quarterback and be successful and keep your job for more than a year, or you'll just get chewed up and spat out.
Yeah.
And the great ones love doing it. So
let's get El Diablo in here next. Good afternoon, Diablo. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Hey, good afternoon, man. Hey, I wasn't calling in to make this point, but in respect to Hendon Hooker, you're exactly right. What has really separated him is what he's got between his ears. You know, in a relatively short amount of time, he processed that Tennessee playbook, and I've got to figure Heupel probably has a pretty complex playbook, and he's processed it quickly. So you've got to know that impresses NFL general managers.
Well, and, I mean, the gift to Tennessee football can't be overstated, because Milton got to watch him do that for 2 years. And so it's like when Rodney Garner got here and he was talking about, well, some of these defensive linemen, they don't know what good looks like because they haven't had a good player to watch. And, oh, this is how you get to the NFL, by working this hard, and then they can do it. And then it becomes a self-perpetuating thing where the class after class sees that. And, you know, Milton got to see that. So I think that's what gives a lot of Tennessee fans confidence, is that he's going to – it's like, okay, maybe I didn't know how this offense works, but Hendon showed me, and now hopefully he can go do it, and then Nico's going to see that, and then he can go do it. And then a player that's going to commit Thursday that we're about to talk about here in just a minute can watch Nico do it, and then he can go do it, and it started with Hooker. Somebody had to be the first guy to do it.
Speaking of that, shout out to Martin. He was the first guy I heard speaking about that kid from Savannah. So hey, I love hearing Martin call in because he seems to be on top of our recruiting. I'm going to change topics on you, though, guys, and go to baseball, because I went over there this weekend and I'm seeing some changes in the rules. Like, I'm still trying to process, I guess, the timer or the clock that they had going on there, I guess, to speed up the game and make sure the pitchers didn't sit there and scratch and fudge around for half an hour. What can we expect when Major League Baseball starts? What new rule changes are coming there in the big leagues?
Well, I mean, the pitch clock is the big one, and they've already had some interesting things happen with that in spring training. I've not been following it super close, Diablo, but I know, like Marcus, you talked about last week, they were tweaking a couple of those rules. It's a little bit different than the college game. The college game has a 20-second clock, I believe, for every pitch. Whereas the pros, it's what, 15 second if nobody's on base, and then it goes up to 20 if you have somebody on base? Something like that. Yeah, we'll find it out for you. But it's
Marcus there?
It shortens the games for sure.
Yeah, I'm here, Diablo.
Marcus, is there any talk about the umpires? Like, is there a replay? I mean, somebody I was listening to today at school was telling me that umpiring is also going to be getting, like, you know how Fox has had that strike zone where you can see whether the umpire got it right. Is that going to come more into play and become a part of the game?
I think really Honestly, I think just Major League Baseball is just really asking the umpires to use more common sense when it comes to probably except for the exception is with the timer, but I can look more into it and see what I can find. But I don't think there's going to be a lot more rule changes with them specifically.
Well, they've tried the robo ump in the minor leagues with. I don't think there have been many hiccups. I think that's going to happen eventually. It probably should. It's going to be weird at first.
I didn't know if that was jumping to the big league, guys. That's one of my questions. I wondered if Robo Ump was actually heading this year or if it's still in the trial stage. Hey, last but not least, and I'm not trying to open up a can of worms, but it did get me to thinking. I have a friend that's got a daughter that swims competitively in college, and there's been some bumps in the roads in terms of who's actually in the water with her and who's not. What does the, and I don't really care about junior college or NAIA or small college, but what does the NCAA have in place rule-wise as far as making sure that gender equity is followed through on both the men and women's sports respectively? Are there protocols, rules, or any kind of thing in place at this point? Thanks, guys. I'll hang up and listen. Great show. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Diablo. I mean, obviously there's not, because you had a dude win the national championship last year in women's swimming.
Yeah. I read an article recently with a swimmer from another university that was swimming in a big meet. I don't know if it was an NCAA thing, but I was under the impression that she had already gone through, like, you know, the transition thing. But no.
No, he was like swimming for the men's team 1 year, and then the next year he's swimming for the women's team.
Yeah. So
the pitch clock is 15 seconds in the majors with the bases empty, and then 20 seconds with the runners on. And the other big one is the shift. You got to have two infielders on either side of second base now when the pitch is released.
I do like that. Like, I think that'll help. I think it'll make the game less boring.
I mean, I guess you can still have the shortstop right up there hugging second base and the second baseman a little bit, maybe a few more steps to his left.
I'm sure they'll figure something out.
But. Yeah, you still play with your outfielders a little bit, but you can't have the shortstop playing, you know, a shallow right field, basically, which is what we were seeing.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
And just after, now that, you know, with the rise of Tennessee's baseball program, the fact that, you know, we're following it so closely, and I'm watching like a ton of college baseball now, college games is a lot more fun to watch, for me at least, than a major league game. Just so boring, man.
Well, there's less at stake per game, you know? I mean, these league games in the SEC play, every game feels like kind of a playoff type atmosphere to it. When you're shooting where we're shooting, where LSU's shooting, when you're trying to get to Omaha, you got to win these games because you want to put yourself in position to host a regional and a super regional and make it as easy as you can for yourself.
How do they do that? What's the mechanism for deciding who gets the region and super regionals? Like the basketball tournament, is there a group that gets together and does that, or?
Man, that's a good question. I feel like I know this.
I feel like you. I would have thought you would have known something like this. It's kind of more.
I think it's by it's by ranking. It's by a system. We'll try and provide a definitive answer for you. When we continue. Plus, why Thursday is shaping up to be an epic sports day locally on a number of fronts. We will go through everything that is going to happen here in 48 hours. When we continue, you're listening to The Drive. Stay with us. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. We've got our friend Josh Pate coming on the show tomorrow to talk a little college football. He had an interesting take on the future of Tennessee football this week on his Late Kick podcast. We will have him expound on that a little bit tomorrow on the air. We'll talk a little college football with Josh Pate on the drive. Then coming up Thursday, big day on the show, shaping up to be an epic. First of all, it's Major League Baseball opening day. And I think I read where this is the first year in like 30 years or something that every team is playing on opening day, which I think is cool. That's the way it ought to be. I don't like this faux opening day stuff that we've been having for years. Let's have opening day. Everybody get out there and play. Let's play ball, man. Everyone.
I never realized it wasn't that. Really?
You're talking about, it's been that way for like since we were kids, bro.
I just assumed everybody started on the same day.
You weren't a big baseball guy growing up, baseball fan, were you?
No, I was more into football, basketball, racing.
So you got Major League Baseball opening day is Thursday. It's also the first game of the LSU series Thursday night in Baton Rouge. You've got Dolander going up against Paul Skeens, one of the games of the year in the series of the year for SEC baseball potentially. So that's going to be epic. It is UT Pro Day over on campus as a couple of Vols will be hoping to impress the scouts over there. And I mean, that's big for recruiting purposes and all that stuff for Tennessee. Hopefully, you know, we just talked about Hooker getting drafted. Hopefully everybody can go in there and make a splash in front of the scouts on Thursday.
I wonder, has Hendo been cleared for anything yet?
No, I think he's walking around and stuff, but I don't think he's going to do anything physical. No. Yeah. And also Thursday, right at 12 noon, there's going to be a commitment in Tennessee. If you're reading the tea leaves, it sounds like we're going to be getting good news from a quarterback, Bear.
Is this a kid from Lexington?
No.
Oh.
He's a 2025 prospect. This is rising senior Jake Merklinger from Savannah, Georgia. Diablo was just alluding to him moments ago.
Yeah.
He is a four-star, top 100 national prospect. His top schools are Georgia, Michigan State, North Carolina, and Tennessee. And the Vols are trending. Several of the 247 crystal balls have come in. He's the number 6 overall quarterback in the country, number 55 prospect overall, according to 247. Big kid, about 6'3", 205 pounds, can fling it. More of a, you know, not necessarily a dual threat. I think he's more of a pocket passer, but really highly touted guy. And this is really impressive to me, Bear, because we've been hearing the narrative about how hard it's going to be to sign a quarterback in this class because of Nico.
Yeah. Like
nobody wants to come and just ride the bench behind him for 2 or 3 years. And if Tennessee can go ahead and lock up Merklinger, I mean, that's going to be a huge boost, I would say, to the class of 2024 for Josh Heupel.
Absolutely. I get down with that.
And quarterbacks bring in other commitments. You've got a couple players already committed. The Eccles kid from down there at IMG is a really nice sounding prospect. J.J. Harrell, the receiver from North Panola, Mississippi. Caleb Beasley from the Mid-State. Marcus Goree from down in Chattanooga. Carson Gentle. So you get a lot of four stars, man. I don't know that there's going to be many, if any, five stars in this class, but I think Heupel's going to reel in a bunch of four stars in the class of 2024. And it's going to be pretty exciting, man. Anytime you get a quarterback this early in the process, really good thing. Really good sign.
Yeah. Can't wait, man.
Thursday, man.
Big
opening
day.
Opening day in the majors. LSU series gets underway. UT Pro Day. And Jake Merklinger perhaps committing to the Vols right around noon. Should be a big show Thursday afternoon. Brad in La Follette is next. What's up, Brad?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, it's going well. How are you, sir?
Great. Hey, Russ, you were talking about Hendon Hooker just now, and I remember, I don't know if this is, I was watching NFL Network there during the combine, but they were saying at the time of the combine that Hendon Hooker was a couple of weeks away from being cleared to throw. Have you heard anything about that?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he can, you know, toss a little bit, and I guess, you know, maybe wear a brace and everything, but he's certainly not going to be taking any contact anytime soon, and I would just think that he's going to be severely limited. I would be stunned if he does anything at all on Thursday.
Yeah, it seems like you'd be weak in your arm, and you wouldn't want to come out there on a pro day and
no.
not being in 100% shape. But I did hear he was cleared to throw, and like I said, I don't know if that was correct information, but I did hear that.
Well, I mean, what is throw? I mean, throwing is not taking a 7-step drop, planting hard, and firing a, you know, 50-yard deep out down the sideline. It could, you know, standing there in your, you know, huge cage knee brace and tossing, you know, yeah. and not necessarily throwing to receivers who are running routes and stuff like that. So there's different levels of throwing when you get to that level.
And, Russ, you were talking about you're not sure if Josh Heupel is going to be able to reel in any 5-stars this year. I guess my question is, what's keeping us from doing that? What's keeping Tennessee and Josh Heupel from reeling in blue chip top 10 players like defensive tackles, defensive ends, linebackers?
Well, first of all, there's just not many of those guys. There's like, how many 5-stars, depending on the – okay, so I'm looking at on three right now. They've got 22. Or I'm sorry, 20. Yeah, they've got 20 5-star players. All right? So, you know, Georgia and Alabama going to get some of those guys. And unless you've got a tie or something, it's just going to be hard to get those guys. So, I mean, I don't think that it's that important – really to get those guys, but you get a bunch of 4-star dudes. I mean, Hooker was a 4-star, Derek Barnett was a 4-star. I mean, think of the best players that, Trey Smith was a 4-star, I think, according to the services coming out. Like, you can win with those guys, man. You know, it's nice to have a 5-star or two, but even you go and look at the recruiting rankings and, you know, I think Georgia had like 5 or 6 in one of their classes. That's very rare, man, that you get more than 1 or 2 5-stars in a class, even if you're doing great in recruiting.
Well, I forget what article this was I read, but Tennessee is like, say, second or third in the country in recruiting budget. I don't know if that includes NIL or anything, but my question is, if we're spending that kind of money in recruiting, and I know our NIL is, it's got to be one of the top few in the country. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm just expecting some more fireworks in recruiting, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I think you're going to sign a very good class, top 10-ish type class this year again. And, you know, just for comparison's sake, so this is last year's roster. According to 247 talent composite, Tennessee had 2 5-star players on their roster last year. And that was Brew McCoy and Darnell Wright. But for comparison's sake, like Auburn, Florida State had none. Auburn had 1. Florida had 4. This is the entire roster. USC had 3. Notre Dame had 2. Oklahoma had 3. LSU, great talent, right? 5 5-star players on the entire roster. So these are rare that you have these types of players. I wouldn't read too much into that, Brad. We got to run. Folks, that's it for me. I got to go to a family engagement. Baird Marcus will have you for the rest of the show right here on Fan Run Radio. Stay tuned.